In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You and I can learn a lot by listening to various teachers in our lives. In school, we can be blessed by listening and learning from very knowledgeable teachers, instructors, and later professors in college. In the workplace, we can learn a lot by listening to those who have been working in our field for many years and have accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom that can benefit us and our work. You and I can also learn a lot by watching others. Some of what we learn by watching others can be good and beneficial. And some of it can be negative and harmful. In such cases, we should instead learn not to act that way. For example, we can learn valuable lessons in humility by watching how a humble person responds to praise and honors when they come his or her way. They might deflect them or make sure that they direct praises to the others who help them. We can observe how they always consider the needs of others to be more important than their own. On the other hand, we can learn how not to conduct ourselves when we observe the actions of an arrogant and conceited person. We see how he or she is always self-promoting and always considering others and their needs less important by comparison to their own. We see how they walk around with a sense of smug superiority. In our scripture lesson for today, Jesus, always the teacher, refers to both types of learning when he speaks to the crowds and to his disciples. Jesus has significant teaching for his followers, both what not to do and who has done for us. Jesus has significant teaching for his followers, both what not to do and who has done it for us. It is Tuesday of Holy Week, and Jesus is just 3 days away from being arrested, tried, convicted, crucified, killed, and buried. Jesus calls attention to the scribes and the Pharisees who sit on Moses' seat. Now, we must admit that we do not know anything specifically about this Moses' seat that Jesus refers here. Some speculate that it was a specific piece of furniture in a synagogue. Others speculate that it was not a physical piece of furniture, but a figurative position or way of teaching that aligns with the teachings of Moses. In the end, we just don't know. It does appear to be an honored and authoritative position of teaching, to say the least. So Jesus cautions the crowds and his disciples in verse 3. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. As long as the scribes and the Pharisees are in fact reading and transmitting to the people the actual words of Moses, Christ is fine with the crowds and his disciples following them. But Jesus also makes it clear that the actions of the scribes and the Pharisees do not match their words. They say one thing and do another. The definition of a hypocrite. Jesus teaches about some of those arrogant practices of the scribes and Pharisees. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. It was a public recognition and fame that they received. They wanted the praise of others for their pious practice of their religion. They wanted to be recognized as an example by all who saw them. They make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. A phylactery was a small leather box containing verses of scripture. They were tied around a person's forehead or arms. The tassels were blue strands that attached to the corners of their garments to remind them of the Ten Commandments. And these have their origins in the Old Testament commands, and you can still see them being worn today in some strands of Judaism. But again, notice that by making their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, the point was to draw attention to themselves so they would be seen as superior. It was all self-centered and self-focused. They loved the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues. The scribes and Pharisees loved to be seen and loved the privilege that came with their positions. The best seats were seats that allowed them to be seen and heard by all. A lowly seat off to the side? Mm-mm. That was for others, not for them. They loved greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. They loved their public recognition as well. And apparently in some circles, they were quite popular. After all, they were receiving public recognition and greeting. Do not observe what they do. Jesus teaches the crowds and his disciples. The very fact that Jesus warns the crowds and his disciples about such pride-filled behavior should serve to warn us as well. It is the very nature of sin and the sinful nature that we are conceived and born with to focus on ourselves and promote ourselves. And how easily sinful pride can rear its ugly head in our midst. We may work on a project or serve in a ministry here at church, and perhaps nobody says anything in the way of praise. So, we decided that we are not going to help anymore. Or we may think that serving in the church is not worthy of my precious time. And there are many other more interesting and honorable things outside of the church that I should definitely focus on. Or worst of all, we begin to think that we are a little more worthy of God's blessings than others because of all we have done, or how much we give, or all that we know about the Bible, or how often we worship and study the scriptures. A feeling of superiority, or especially spiritual superiority, is so easily obtained when we take our eyes off our Savior and focus them on ourselves. Jesus goes on to teach his hearers that the greatest among you shall be your servant. How ironic When we stop to think about the events in our reading from Tuesday and Holy Week, the one who is speaking these words in our reading, the teacher, is the God-man Jesus Christ. He is the one who actually is deserving of all glory, honor, and worship. And yet, as Paul writes in Philippians 2 that we read tonight, Jesus is the one who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Ultimately, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that death on a cross covers all of our sin, even our own misguided, undeserved pride and arrogance. The slate has been wiped clean, and no sin and no guilt remain. God has removed them as far as east is from the west. The one who humbled himself took care of it all for us in our place. And it's that same Jesus who says near the end of our text, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." How true is his case? He is the greatest ever to be among us. And how he served us by his life, death, and resurrection. We can learn a great deal, both by listening to our Savior's teaching tonight, and by watching his example. May God be at work in us daily to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, not on ourselves. To serve God and our neighbor in all humility. For as Jesus said, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. In his name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.